Our scripture this morning is a familiar one. They call it the parable of weeds among the wheat. And I invite you to listen. It may sound familiar, but see if there's a new word that maybe rises up for you. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" May God bless our hearing and receiving of this holy parable. So, did anybody hear a new word or a good word this morning? Sharon.
Where did these weeds come from?
Where did these weeds come from? How often do we ask that question in life? When you're driving down the road and that motorcycle pulls out in front of you. So many ways that we ask that. Anything else? Yes, Chris.
Let them grow together until harvest.
Let them grow together until the harvest. That's an interesting part of this story. Yes. Ken. Well, the easy thought is just that the wheat's ready to be pulled up and harvested at that point, so it won't damage the harvest. But yeah, it still complicates things, so even it might give us pause to just think about the end times, the judgment times, which this parable is certainly talking about, when Jesus comes and judges the weeds and the wheat. Metaphorically, we got to remember this is a story, a picture for us to imagine in our minds. Susan. That we're always going to have chaff or weeds with the wheat. It kind of seems to be the way this world runs. Yeah. And welcome home, Susan. Good to have you back. Well, now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. When Shannon and I lived in Bayfield, Colorado, not far from Durango down south, some of you know where that is, one of our memorable experiences in the spring was driving toward town of Bayfield, rounding a bend in the road, and witnessing a golden blanket laid out before us at the local cemetery. The cemetery was literally blanketed, covered with a bright golden yellow blanket of dandelions. Weeds. No, flowers. Golden flowers planted by God's loving hands. It was gorgeous. In the mountains of Colorado, we see at times, in particular in the mountains, but some people just let the dandelions take over in the early spring until they blanket the ground. But soon, they go to seed and wither away, eventually choked out by the healthy summer grass. And I don't know how many times Shannon and I still have conversations about the different perspectives in the mountains in particular between what is considered a weed and what is considered a beautiful mountain wildflower. Poll question: how many believe that dandelions are beautiful? I'm not going to ask the alternate. As was mentioned, as far as I can tell, weeds are just part of life. Even in the Bible, Jesus seems to accept weeds as part of the natural habitat, a fact of life, part of the ongoing relationship between God, nature, and us humans. When we pull the weeds and bundle them up for the burn pile, let them wither and dry, and then burn them, we may just find ourselves burning up plants that someone else may revere for their beauty. Or perhaps a pharmaceutical researcher might refine into some kind of medicine, perhaps a cure for cancer someday. We run a risk when we choose either or judge wrong from right, or separate good from bad. I'm just saying, we ought to be careful about making judgments about others, especially about jumping to the first obvious solution, rather than going deeper and asking the hard questions, seeking different perspectives and interpretations. I was recently reminded of an old favorite quote: "For every significant challenge in life, there is a perfectly simple and straightforward answer, and it is always wrong." You see, we live in a complicated world today, and Jesus apparently thought things were pretty complicated in his time on earth. So he told us another parable to give us a picture about judgment. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. So here we have the kingdom of heaven, which has come near through Jesus' life and ministry. Good seeds have been planted in his kingdom. Good things have been done and taught. Disciples have been chosen, initiated, raised up as leaders for the new community of faith, the church, perhaps, but maybe not just contained within the church. We know from the previous parable that Jesus planted seeds in good soil, but also in shallow soil, and rocky and weed-infested soil. Good seeds, or disciples, were springing up in the most unlikely places. But here, the challenge is that apparently, those who served the kingdom inside the church or outside couldn't always recognize the good seeds from the bad, and they were not very happy about it. "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field, your kingdom? Where then did these weeds come from?" Maybe they could see the difference between the new sprouts of wheat and the weeds. Maybe not. But they could not be trusted to just pull out the bad stuff without also pulling out the good stuff at the same time. These Servants of religion were upset that this kingdom planted by Jesus was not as neat and clean as they had hoped for. And they were chomping at the bit to just jump in there and do some separating and some judging. These ones are too weak. These ones aren't smart enough. These ones think they know it all. These ones gossip too much. These ones are lazy or have an attitude of entitlement. And then there are the gays, the illegals, the Muslims, the addicts, the homegrown terrorists. But we really can't tell very well just by looking which are the good ones and which are the bad. We can't keep all the potential weeds or bad guys out of our lives, can we? It's just not that simple in our world. And when our leaders, well, we see what happens when they try to protect the good people, and so many times their decisions are just as bad or worse than what we're afraid of that they're addressing. So how do we know? How do we judge? And then specifically religions, how often do we find ourselves comparing ourselves with those other religious folks? Well, at least we're not struggling like they are. They are just about making people feel good. No substance. They only look to the great by and by with no responsibility for this world. They don't seem to stand for anything. They claim everybody but them is going to hell. It's pretty easy to point your finger, isn't it? In fact, the number one complaint against, quote, Christians today is how judgmental we are. It's just so hard to do this judgment thing, separating the good from the bad, that we Christians seem determined to do and that we humans seem determined to do. Separating good from bad, deciding what is good and evil. Where have we heard that before? Let's eat the fruit of this tree so we can be like God, the only one who can see what is truly evil and what is truly good. Recognize this parable's taking us back to the Garden of Eden, back to the beginning. Were there weeds in that garden? Well, what are weeds? I guess we started with that. Are they not plants created by God for God's good creation, but they happen to be growing in the wrong place? According to who? That's Shannon and my conversation quite often. Dandelions growing in my lawn. Bindweed growing in my tomato plants. Sumac tree sprouts growing by the hundreds in our backyard? Who decides what is good and what is bad, or even evil? Does evil enter us only from an outside source? Jesus said that evil comes from within us. And where in the Bible do we see identified the greatest evil? Isn't it idolatry? Putting anything before God or God's will or God's design for creation? Idolatry, putting ourselves in God's place? Judging what is good or evil from human perspective rather than God's? Should we pull those weeds, Jesus? But the master still says, let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers to collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. So quit passing judgment on others from a human perspective. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, do not judge so that you may not be judged. In fact, how many times do we do more damage when we pass judgment than those weeds ever did? And judgment in the name of God, history tells us that that has created some of the most evil atrocities in human history. In the name of God. In our parable, we see the master promising the final judgment. Jesus is commissioned to judge all things on earth, all people, all nations, all institutions. Jesus is commissioned to bring all of creation back into right relationship with God. Jesus will send in the reapers to collect the weeds and bring them to judgment. Good news for us? Wait a minute. Are there really any of us that are good enough, worthy enough, above sin, self-interest, neglect of God's kingdom? Good news for us. Jesus judges with eyes of love. Jesus loves the weeds just as much as the wheat. Believe it. Jesus is already gathering the wheat into his barn, which is his righteous relationship with God. All that receive that right relationship with God through Jesus, all those Jesus looks upon in love and proclaims, this little beauty belongs in my Father's garden. All that Jesus looks upon with love and died on the cross to save. All that God loves. But what about those weeds bundled up for burning? What a metaphor. The fires of hell sure fire up our imagination, don't they? Burn those weeds, we proclaim. But wait a minute. Jesus judges in love. Does he see weeds and wheat, or just God's beautiful creation? You see, he gave his life for both, for all of them. When God created this beautiful garden of earth, when we read the story, there's no mention of hell. But there is mention of human choice. Choose life, or choose to judge good and evil in God's place. Adam and Eve couldn't live in the garden because they couldn't live in right relationship with God. They couldn't choose that. In our final picture in the book of Revelation, we have a picture of the recreated garden, the finally reconciled creation on earth, and it had gates, we're told. But the gates will be open for all who choose to live with God, will always be open. So who will burn, metaphorically, it's a word picture, all those who walk away from that perfect, loving, accepting, forgiving relationship with God through Jesus? That would have to burn. To refuse that love, that acceptance, that forgiveness that only sees wheat and beautiful garden flowers, that has to burn. How sad is that? How sad it is, especially for God. And real flames in the metaphor, well, the metaphor simply refers to and mentions Gehenna, the garbage dump outside of Jerusalem's city walls, quite often with a constant smoldering going on. But the good news of this parable, we can relax a bit and not feel responsible for judging everyone who is different from us. We don't have to punish anyone. Jesus is just fine with us coexisting together for the time being, loving each other even, until his judgment comes. The better good news is that Jesus took all our judgment and the punishment upon himself when he died on the cross. Jesus took our guilt, our failures, our idolatry, our choosing intolerance and judgment of others instead of love, our neglect of the kingdom, of the church, of our world, of God's beloved children in so many places. Jesus took all of that for every one of us, every weed, every flower in this world. Jesus took that to the cross with him so that all we have to do is focus on loving God and loving each other. All people, all the flowers of the garden, even and perhaps especially the weeds. And then using our gifts and talents and passions to ourselves bear fruit for the kingdom. So let's let Jesus do the judging in this world, because Jesus judges in love. We see that on the cross. He sees the good and the bad and the weeds in all of us, in all people, in all things. And he loves us anyways. He loves all people and all things, even the weeds. So we can count on Jesus to even love us. That is really good news. So a take-home question: how well do we love the weeds in our lives? Let us pray. Blessed God, we are so grateful when we look around us, see the beauty that you have given us in the wildflowers and also in the weeds, in our neighbors, but even in the strangers. You bring beauty in relationships that bring together so many differences, so much separateness, because you are constantly reconciling all of your creation and all of us, weeds and weeds. Oh God, open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to discern, to see as you see, to love as you love, as best we can, and to serve all of your good creation. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.